20-year plan to cure global issues such as pandemic diseases, extreme poverty, illiteracy, corruption, global warming, spiritual emptiness. He claims that his social works agenda developed from his reading of the Gospels, that Jesus gave him the model that was the antidote to the five biggest problems on the planet. Warren subsequently expanded that model from an exclusive endeavor of Christianity to one requiring the support of all religions, so that the P in his peace plan originally stood for planting churches. Later, however, a panel and audience of representatives of the world's religions, he changed the P from planting churches to promoting reconciliation. He announced unequivocally that the universal problems cannot be solved without including people of faith and their religious institutions. And when he says people of faith, he does not mean Christians. He means all religions. It's a shift from the good news of the gospel to an alternative good news for the world. A utopian vision, inconsistent with the scriptures. God has not called us to eradicate any of those things. Yes, we should minister to the poor. Yes, we should have compassion for those who are sick and so on. But until we get the hearts of men right, the problems of men will continue to haunt us. It's a deadly delusion, and it will lead you into a universal religion, just as Rick Warren now has joined the board for Tony Blair and his Faith Foundation to unite the religions of the world to undergird the new global order. Deadly delusions. Again, I want to remind you, if you have not already done so, get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints. You have never read anything like this book. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll answer questions that have troubled you for a long time. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Tell your friends, Romans, and countrymen about it. I want to urge you to become a partner with us, because day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't get caught up in any deadly delusion. Remember, the just shall live by faith in Christ.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, but I just want to point out that nothing is it appears to be. Now, we're told, of course, that there's spontaneous uprisings all over the Near East and the Middle East, and we're supposed to believe that's true. Isn't it interesting that all sorts of reports that former dictator of Egypt, you go up in the internet to look up by all sorts of reports, he's in a coma someplace. And then, of course, the former dictator of Tripoli, he's in a coma someplace. And then, of course, the son of the Shah of Iran, of course, all of these people could have gone back to power if there had been stability, but the Shah of Iran's son died, I believe, in January, apparent suicide. And is this really true? Or are we being lied to about everything? Remember the Lockerbie bomber? Here's a man who, of course, was responsible for the downing of Pyongyang 103, killed over 200 people. And what happened? Well, he served 7 years. His health was deteriorating, so we released him to go home because he's dying. And then suddenly his health improved dramatically. What's wrong with this story? And then, of course, there was the fellow who actually planned and supervised and trained the 7-7 bombers. These were the so-called bombers in London who bombed a subway and bombed a bus and killed all sorts of people. And this one man didn't get killed. He admitted that he had done this. And, I mean, he's killed 20 people. He's planned this. He's provided the explosives. And recently he was released after 4 years of incarceration, fined $500. 4 years in jail for killing 20 people. Ali Mohammed, who planned the embassy bombings in Africa. Ali Mohammed, who planned the first bombing of the World Trade Center buildings, who actually was the man who trained Osama bin Laden's bodyguards. He was arrested, and there was a secret trial. Nobody knows what happened at the trial. He is not in maximum security. In fact, nobody knows where he is. This man who planned a bombing that killed well over 100 people in Africa and injured over 5,000. What's wrong with these pictures? Reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. Well, we need to get back to reality, and this evening, our guest this evening is Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution, which is something that is reality, although, of course, we are a republic, we are not a democracy. Most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is in violation of our Constitution. And what we need to do is get back to fundamentals. What we need to do is look at the world as it really is. And believe me, most of what you are being told about the cause of the revolution over there in the Near East and the Middle East is simply all contrived. And much of what you're told about America today is contrived. Oh, basically, of course, they're talking about how we've got to cut $1.5 trillion from the budget over the next 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a budget deficit this year of $1.6 trillion, and we're going to cut $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. What sort of madness is that? They intentionally destroying this country. And you're going to have to get the truth. David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us. And let's get back to the fundamentals of our Constitution, because this is reality. This is the law of our land, which nobody ever talks about. Go right ahead,
Amen.
David.
Amen. And what you see taking place, as you just mentioned, is an abuse of power by those who run Washington, D.C., who have no intention, really, of following the law. We, the people, must know the law to hold them accountable to that law.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. David, you pick up the story.
Well, one of my favorite quotes from Thomas Jefferson has to do with that abuse of power. He said, "In questions of power, then, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down with the chains of the Constitution." He, as well as all of our founders, recognized that men are fallen, sinful human beings, and even the very best of men. If you found a really noble man who exemplified virtues that we would all admire, perhaps a George Washington or so forth, even them, you should not trust them with unchecked power. You should put chains upon them, the chains that the Constitution is designed to keep them from abusing that power. And the chains are now taken off of those in power. They do whatever they please and give whatever excuse they want. Terrorism is one excuse for them doing just about anything they want and so on. And they put the chains on us. We're the ones who are in chains instead of them chained down by the Constitution. And the Scripture asks the question in Psalm 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's an interesting read. Sometimes I take the Bible up and read Psalm 11, because the options some people would give us there are, well, flee to the mountains. You know, it's going to be you can't fight this fight. Just run away from the fight. It's not worth enduring. And that's not the answer of the psalmist. It's like, no, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, not run away from the fight, but rather rebuild the foundations. And that's what we're dedicated to do at Institute on the Constitution. And those foundations of a biblical understanding of law and government, which is what our founders' view of law and government was and still is. And in fact, they understood that that is the only way you can create a system of government that will protect the God-given rights of the individual. Just think about what's happening there in the Middle East. Supposedly, you know, like you say, it's very suspicious that these are all happening at once, all these uprisings. But what these people are going to do is exchange one set of dictators for another set of dictators. That's all. You know, it doesn't matter that 51% of the people want their so-called freedom from this dictator. In places like Egypt, what's going to happen is the Christians, who are, about 8% of the population there in Egypt, the Christians are going to, and already are experiencing greater persecution. Where's the protection of their God-given right to freedom of religion? Nah, non-existent. You see, unless you follow the biblical view of law and government, nobody really has any liberty. Because liberty is defined by following God's law. Just as if, you know, a human being were to say, well, you know, I don't like the law of gravity. That's a pesky law. Let's just outlaw that and say that's no longer law. It doesn't apply to any of us. And the legislature says it's not law. You know, let's go off and pretend it's not law. Well, you jump off a 10-story building, you're not going to break the law
of
gravity.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Pastor David Whitney is talking about the laws upon which our Constitution are founded. America was based upon the Constitution. That is the law of our land. It restricts the power of the federal government. It declares America is a republic, and the power of the central government is to be restricted by the change of the Constitution. But who in Washington believes that? Does Barack Obama know? He tells you we're a democracy. Our leaders tell us we're a democracy, and of course they can do whatever they want to. Most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is a violation of our Constitution, which is still the law of the land. If they don't like it, they ought to amend it. They don't want to amend it. They want to circumvent it, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that most of the people in Washington, D.C. have sworn an oath to uphold a constitution they don't believe in, because they want an all-powerful state, and they want their big retirement, and they want to have all their health benefits, and they want to make a lot of money when they get out of Congress, because they'll be well rewarded for services rendered to what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness while they were in Congress. David, pick up the story about our Constitution, the most important document ever written by man. Go ahead.
And that Constitution, as I was just saying before the break, is based upon God's law, and you can't break God's law. Just like you pretend the law of gravity doesn't exist, jump off a 10-story building, you're not going to break the law of gravity. You're going to break yourself on that law. You break your bones of your body. And our founders knew that law, like truth, is unchanging, it is absolute, it is God-ordained, and no man can alter the moral laws of the universe. We have an insane legislature here in the state of Maryland that's proposing to redefine marriage as between two adults of any sort. So two men can marry, two women can marry. And these people are idiots, and I basically told them that last week, that they are idiots to consider trying to change the law of the universe. You cannot change the law of the universe. It's fixed. It is unchanging, it's ordained by God, and basically you're spitting in the face of God if you think you can change it. And so our founders knew that law, as the foundation of our system of government, is fixed, it is unchanging, and the Bible clearly speaks about that. In the Old Testament, the word truth, MS, is a term for something that is fixed and unchanging, something that meets the test of time. In the New Testament, it's even stronger. The word truth, aletheia, is actually identified with Jesus Christ. He says he's the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and verse 6. And it's also stated that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. So truth, which is identified with Jesus Christ, does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this flies in the face of all the people who are relativist in our day, who want to believe that, well, truth is whatever you want it to be, and that's a poppycock notion that anybody who is thinking seriously about it, would ask a relativist, do you believe that what you're saying, that all truth is relative, is absolutely true? And most relativists would say, oh, sure, it's absolutely true. Well, if it's absolutely true, you're saying there is at least one absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth. It's absolutely insane to think that way. And our founders were rational men who understood this. One of the thinkers that influenced their worldview was Sir Isaac Newton, the great scientist who was a Christian and who taught that the universe is governed by fixed and absolute God-ordained laws. So the scientific laws regarding motion and gravity and mathematics, that 2 plus 2 always equals 4 here on Earth. If you go to Mars, it still equals 4. If you go to the other side of the universe, it always equals 4. Or the laws of chemistry and the laws of physics, all of these physical laws of the universe are fixed and absolute. Now, Newton was a devout Christian who wrote extensively on Bible prophecy and so on, and he also said that the moral laws for the governance of mankind, those are as fixed and unchanging as the scientific laws or the physical laws of the universe. And so government is supposed to be about governing mankind, and it can only be a just and valid government if it follows those fixed laws that the Creator has made and established for the moral laws of the universe. And so both Christians as well as even deists embraced the ideas of Newton, and they spoke of it as the laws of nature and nature's God. And that phrase ought to ring a bell in everybody's mind who's ever read the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation stone upon which our whole system of government is built. For it said that we have a right to separate from Great Britain, to form our own government, and to establish this government based upon the laws of nature and nature's God, which, as we've talked about quite a few months back, is a paraphrasing of William Blackstone, who said there's three forms of law. There's the laws of nature, which is God's truth revealed to the conscience of every human being. And there's revealed law, which is the Bible. And then there's municipal law, whatever mankind write down as laws. But municipal law is only valid if it complies completely with the first two, with the Bible and with God-informed human conscience, which is informed by the Bible as well as what God has placed in the heart of each human being. And so the framers, with this worldview of law as a fixed standard, they believed the Constitution was to be interpreted according to a fixed standard, its plain meaning interpreted by the intent of those who drafted and ratified it. For example, James Madison, who is rightly called the father of our Constitution, he said, if the sense in which the Constitution was accepted and ratified by the nation be not the guide in expounding it, there can be no security for a faithful exercise of its powers. So if we're not going to interpret the Constitution the way those who drafted and ratified it interpreted it, then we are being unfaithful to this form of government. Indeed, the modern theories today of the living Constitution and what most attorneys have been trained in law school, and therefore most judges that sit on the bench, believe this lie of the living Constitution that can be changed and altered any which way they choose according to the dictates of a judge, a lawyer who wears a black robe. That's all it takes. Put a black robe on a lawyer, and all of a sudden he becomes the one who creates new law out of thin air, just writing it on paper, whatever he wants it to be. So they invent this law about, well, you can murder an unborn baby in his mother's womb. Where's that in the Constitution? Nowhere. And they, if you actually read Roe v. Wade, you'd see they kind of say, well, maybe it's here, or maybe it's there, or maybe it's in the penumbras. And, well, that's the penumbra. It's a, you know, or the emanations, kind of the shadows. You can't really read it actually in the text of the Constitution, but somehow it's in the shadow or it's in between the lines, and only the judge who's wearing a black robe can actually have the proper glasses to see these penumbras. The rest of us unwashed masses could not possibly see that. Well, Madison said that's poppycock. That's garbage. If the sense of the Constitution was accepted and ratified by the nation, be not the guide in expounding it, there can be no security for a faithful exercise of its power. And that's exactly why today we have such an abuse of our constitutional republic by those in power in Washington, D.C., as well as in the state governments, for that matter. We have an abuse because they are not following the intent of the Constitution as ratified by the founders. And those who are honest, and, you know, try to find an honest politician in Washington, that's, you know, few and far between. You can probably count them on on one set of fingers. But if they were honest, they would admit that, yes, of course we're not interpreting the Constitution as the founders interpreted it. Of course we've come up with new interpretations, but we have to. Oh, there's terrorism. Oh, we got to change things. And you know, there's thousands of excuses why they violated. Jefferson said, no, no, no. Bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. Don't let them do this. And they've gotten away with it for so many years because most Americans don't know what the founders' worldview was, and they don't know what the founders meant by the words they crafted in the Declaration, Constitution, and Bill of Rights. And that, by God's grace, we're seeing a change sweep our country as we educate more and more Americans on this. Well, Jefferson also spoke to this issue of interpreting the Constitution. He said, the Constitution on which our Union rests shall be, and he was saying this in his inaugural address, shall be administered by me according to the safe and honest meaning contemplated by the plain understanding of the people of the United States at the time of its adoption. Again, he's saying the same thing Madison did, that in a sense we in the 21st century here need to step into a time machine, and we need to travel back 200 years, and we need to look at the language of our founders from their glasses, from their worldview. We need to understand what they believed about law, what they believed about government, what they believed about human nature. Based upon their worldview, which was a biblical view of law and government, we need to understand that worldview and then interpret what they said according to the plain meaning of the text. And, you know, we have huge volumes of their letters and Federalist Papers, and there's ample amount of research material for anybody who's interested in studying it to discover what the founders meant by what they put on paper. No mystery. It's there. It's not like we got to guess at what they meant by the general welfare clause. They talked about it later. They wrote papers about it and correspondence about all these things that are abused today. Our founders gave us answers to what they meant by what they said. Well, George Washington spoke to the same matter in his farewell address, which, by the way, is the most important political address ever given in our country. And every school child, 100 years ago and earlier, every school child read and studied this document, if not studied or read today, because Washington expresses a Christian worldview in that document. He expresses the dangers of a government that violates the law, and so all the kind of things that the politicians today don't want any school children ever even thinking about. No, 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 don't let the kids think about such things. They won't want them to read this at all, but I encourage you, it's available online, obviously. You can get it many different places. But Washington said in that farewell address, if in the opinion of the people the distribution or modifications of the constitutional powers be at any particular wrong, that is, if somehow we, as founders, made a mistake, we overlooked something, or we didn't do something in the best form, if we made some mistake, let it be corrected, he continued, by an amendment in the way the Constitution designates. Article 5 of our Constitution designates a process. Admittedly, it's not an easy process. It's a difficult process. There's only 27 times that in our country we've amended this document, our Constitution, over more than 200 years. So that's not a lot of amendments over 200 years of time. But let us amend it by the way the Constitution designates, Washington continues, but let there be no change by usurpation. Though this may in one instance be the instrument of good, it is the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
morning?
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Do not want to amend the Constitution because they know the people don't want to give up their freedom. They just want to establish a autocratic feudal type of system with them as part of the feudal masters and us as part of the feudal serfs. And that by circumventing the Constitution, certainly George Washington talked about the importance, certainly, of maintaining the Constitution and the possibility of amendment if people didn't agree with the basic concepts. Andrew Jackson said exactly the same thing. He said, you know, if they don't like the Constitution, let them amend it. But you see, they haven't tried to amend it. They simply violated it. And they've gotten away with it because the media is controlled, because the educational system is controlled, because most people don't understand the Constitution. That's why it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you learn the Constitution. That's what the Institute of the Constitution is all about, and we'll tell you later how you can get a test kit, how you can actually begin to study the Constitution. If we're going to take America back, we first of all have to understand why America is unique and novel among all the nations of the world, and why everybody wants to emulate us. The only trouble is most people don't understand this. Oh, you need to get the Constitution. You need to read it through. I had a British lord, his name was Lord Monckton, on my program recently, a member of the House of Lords. And he told me, you know, how much he envied America. And he says he carries a copy of the American Constitution with him because America is the only nation that can save England and the world. Go right ahead, David.
Wow. Well, it's amazing if you study, as I have and our students do, if you study the Constitution, you understand our founders' worldview. If you were to summarize it very simply, is first of all, there is a creator God. Secondly, our rights come from him and him alone, not from government. And thirdly, the sole purpose, and you can underline that word soul, the sole purpose of human civil government is to secure and protect those God-given rights. If you understand that, you have to say, how in the world do we get into this crazy mess today? When you got people down in Washington, last week I heard some of the crazy debates. You know, one of the proposals was to defund Planned Parenthood, and the supporters of Planned Parenthood stood up and said, oh, man, you can't do that. You're going to take away women's health care. What? Just insanity prevails down there. How in the world did it get so backward? How in the world did it get so twisted that you get to a point where now people are saying it is the duty of the government to murder babies in the womb and for the taxpayers to be forced to pay for the murder of babies in the womb? How did we get to such a thing? That's incredible. What's happened, we've gone through a revolution, a revolution in thought, a revolution in law, a revolution in an entire new legal structure that is basically illegal, according to our founders. How did it all happen? Well, it happened with a changing view of truth that was actually beginning to ferment in the European countries at the same time that our Declaration of Independence was being signed. For example, one influential thinker for many people was Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who lived the early part of the 18th century, 1712 to 1778, and he rejected the whole concept of sin. He said, there is no sin. Nothing is wrong. And he stressed that all men are good. In nature, all men are good, and there's no sin. It's like, well, that sounds like a nice Pollyanna view of human beings. If you've run into many human beings as I have, you know that all men are sinners, just as God's word said. But Rousseau rejected all of that. No, the Bible, that's outdated, that's outmoded. That thought is ancient, it's not true. Sin doesn't exist. All men are good. And then the question would be, well, Rousseau, what's the problem then? Where in the world does evil come from? How do you justify or explain the existence of evil in the world? Rousseau said, oh, yeah, that's simple. Human institutions are the reason for the existence of evil in the world. Wait a minute. There's something really illogical about that. Just think of that. If human institutions are the source of evil, the reason for existence of evil in the world, where did evil come from? Because if all human beings are good, and if there is no sin, well, wait a minute. If there's no sin, first of all, you can't say there's anything evil anyway. Secondly, if all human beings are good, how could human institutions be the source of evil if all human beings who put those institutions together are good? Well, it's irrational. But many people listened to Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Tragically, many Frenchmen followed his philosophy, and the result was the terrible bloodbath known as the French Revolution, the opposite result of that philosophy of government that our founders came about in our American Revolution. The exact opposite took place there. Well, nobody's rights were secure as a result.
Well, of course, this was an era of revolutionary ferment. But the difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution is the American Revolution preserved Christianity as an anchor for society. The French Revolution destroyed it. We'll be right back. David, you go right ahead.
Well, Jean-Jacques Rousseau had his followers, and tragically, they put into practice what he was preaching to them, and believing that all men were good, they, you know, just plunged ahead with the French Revolution, which was one of the most egregious examples of evil that you can imagine in the world of that day. And the other thing that Jean-Jacques Rousseau had a view of the state that was different. It was a view of the human civil government that was organic. It had an essence of its own, kind of a creature of its own. And this was a significant thought that later led to the kind of communistic thinking where, you know, the state becomes God. The state becomes all consuming and all-encompassing. Boy, we could see that today. Think of the teachers up there in Wisconsin. They're demanding the state give them things. They're demanding the state give them money and so on and so forth. It's like, wait a minute. You people work for the state. Don't you realize the state of Wisconsin is absolutely broke? It has no money. It has nothing to give you. And they're demanding that their God, their idol that they worship, the state, they have an organic view of the state, that the state somehow give them something that the state doesn't have to give. They've replaced the one true God of the universe, the true God of the Bible, with an idol of their own making called the state, and they expect the state civil government to provide them, and they're angry, and they're mobbing the state capitol and so forth because they're demanding the state give them this. It's like, wait a minute, the state's broke. The state doesn't have any money. They're appealing to a dead idol, a worthless idol, for that which the worthless idol cannot possibly give them. And this is a Jean-Jacques Rousseau view of the state. Well, following Rousseau was another significant thinker who actually influenced the founding of communism, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. He lived at the end of the 18th century into the 19th century, 1770 to 1831, and he rejected the concept of absolute unchanging truth. And as we've mentioned before, if you're a relativist, as Hegel was, you get a real problem, because you cannot ever believe that anything is true, and if you can't, how does a professor teach anything to his students if there is no truth? And yet many of the university professors of our day follow the same lie of relativism.
Hold that thought. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to preserve our nation, first of all, you have to understand the foundation of our nation. You have to understand the basis of our form of government and why America is different than any nation in the world. And we are different because of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Federalist Papers. So before we can hope to take America back, we have to understand what we're trying to preserve. And that is why the work of the Institute of the Constitution is so vitally important. That's why every month on this station, this series of stations at this time, why you will hear Pastor David Whitney. First of all, because we want to talk about the Constitution, why America is different, and then we want to introduce you to the course that they prepared. And you can actually, of course, take the course on the Internet, and then, of course, you can get a kit, and you can begin to present it to others. David, how can people get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution? How can they take the course? How can they then begin to teach it to others? And what is happening all across America today?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, people have a excitement all over America and communities that are taking what we call a host kit. We don't say you're teaching the Constitution because you're putting together a class, but the professor basically is John Eidsmo, constitutional law professor, who teaches 12 lectures, and then historian David Barton teaches 2 lectures in our course. And in these 12 weeks, a person is led through a biblical understanding of law and government, an understanding of the philosophical view of our founding fathers, and basically the worldview you need to understand to really accurately interpret the documents that they created, and then study thoroughly the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments to give a person a working knowledge of our founding documents so that they can understand what their role is as a citizen when you go to the ballot box in terms of choosing who you're going to vote for, questions you may want to ask those who are running for office, and you'll know the answers having taken the course, but I tell you, many people in Washington, D.C. have no idea of what our founders' answer would be to this simple question: what is the purpose of government? Say that to, ask that to the average politician, and they're stumped. Or if they come up with an answer, it's a socialist or communist kind of answer. It's never the answer of our founders, almost never, with few exceptions in Washington. But if you take this course, you'll know the answer. And you'll know, and you'll be able to smoke out those people who are pretending to be your friends. Vote for me, I know, I'll give you all the goodies. And you'll be able to smoke them out and realize, no, these people really don't understand what it's all about at all. These people are our enemies. They're enemies of liberty, enemies of our constitutional republic. And so that host kit is available if you want to call us. The toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution here on the East Coast during the regular business hours is 1-866-730-9700. 1-866-472-5796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or you can go to the web and go to our website. Institute on the Constitution's website is iotconline.com. That's all one word, iotconline.com. And there's many articles there. I keep a blog going of different events I'm doing and speeches I've given. The speech I gave to the Maryland State Senate is up there, and various other things that we're doing around the country. Very encouraging news. In Ohio, I just graduated a class earlier last month, and 250 students. And those students are going ahead in two classes for one class. In other words, they're doubling the number of classes that are going on last fall or taking place this winter, which means there'll probably be 500 or more students graduating, and they're going to reach a tipping point in that part of southwestern Ohio where they'll be able to vote in only constitutionists, people who have the worldview of our founders and hold to the founders' understanding of law and government and the founders' interpretation of the Constitution. That's very kind of encouraging news. And other hot spots around the country, I know that talking with hosts in various places where they're seeing multiplication, that is, when one set of students graduates from a class, a number of those students get a host kit, and they go out and launch new classes in their community. Maybe they came from a different church than the church that was hosting the class. And obviously, it's not just churches that are doing this. People are doing it in community centers and homes and all different sort of settings. But as they see a class graduate and they see several of their graduates get a host kit, start a class, they see this multiplication, this bubbling up happening across our country on a grassroots level. So our website, if you go to the store, there you can purchase the host kit as well as many other resources that are available. And we've had to take a hiatus briefly with our online course. It will be available again, but had some technical difficulties. We're working on getting that back online where you'll be able to take the course individually online in your own home. Then we encourage you to go the next step, purchase a host kit, begin a class there in your community, gather a group of people together, and don't be concerned about how small the group might be. I know that a friend in Central Virginia who only had, she did it for homeschoolers, and only had about 20 students, but out of that graduating class, a student got a host kit and started another class in Charlottesville, Virginia. And so that second class was actually bigger than her original class. And so you never know how many people you might reach. You just got to sow the seed, faithfully teach others, and get the word out and encourage them to multiply themselves and take it to a wider and wider circle of people. That's the way we're going to take America back. All the, you know, talk show hosts and these who are big wigs that get a lot of exposure and a lot of people think, oh, they're the hope for America. Not exactly. It's going to take we, the people, on the ground, communicating these truths to as many citizens as we can reach in our circle of influence, and we can see America taken back. But it cannot happen if people sit on their hands or they wring their hands and say, oh, it's too late for America, we can't do it. No, it's not too late. As long as we have breath, it's not too late to turn back the tide, because the Constitution, as it was originally drafted and intended and ratified, that original intent of it is still the law of the land. And that law can be enforced by we, the people, citizens who refuse to let those who we vote for do anything other than following the Constitution. And we got to hold our elected officials accountable. We got to hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, you took an oath to this Constitution. Why aren't you obeying it? And if you refuse to obey it, 2 years from now, we're going to see that you're thrown out. We'll put somebody in who will obey it, and we're training them up. I tell people when I graduate a class that they are now better prepared and better educated and better rulers than any of the people, with very few exceptions, say the 99% of the people in their state capital as well as in Washington, D.C., because you now hold the founders' worldview of law and government, and you now have an accurate understanding of what these documents are about and how to keep the chains on the government, the chains of the Constitution on the government, and off the people, so the people have liberty and the government is ruled by the chains of the Constitution. So get a host kit, call us 866-730-9796, or go to our website, iotconline.com. Dr. Jeff Gross.com.
And I think it's so important that people understand this is going on all across America now, because Rush Limbaugh is not going to attend to this, Bill O'Reilly is not going to attend to this, Sean Hannity is not going to attend to this, but certainly the Institute of the Constitution has been around 9 years. We've been working with them just about that length of time. And certainly they've been a big help to Radio Liberty, but hopefully we've helped them to get mm-hmm. their influence out. The important thing is that there is a tremendous increase in the Constitution right now. People are beginning to talk about it. Judges are beginning to talk about it. Government officials are beginning to talk about it. Why? Because the Tea Party Republicans are talking about the Constitution. I was called up for jury duty about 2 weeks ago, and the judge has said, you know, there's a lot of new interest in the Constitution, and we have to enforce the Constitution. I'd never heard anything like this in our courts before. There is a growing awareness, ladies and gentlemen, and we're in a race right now to determine whether we're going to have a dictatorship here, a feudalistic society where they're going to be free. The world is changing. It's changing radically. If you're not involved, you're part of the problem, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. I hope you'll contact the Institute. You'll take it unto yourself to establish a local class teaching others and all across America, in cities and towns, in precincts. This is being done, and we're going to take America back. It's going to have to be block by block, precinct by precinct, city by city, county by county. And if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Go right ahead, David.
Amen to that. Well, we were talking before the break about George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, and we said that he rejected the concept of absolute unchanging truth, which is actually an irrational belief system, and he taught that truth evolves from age to age. Now, that sounds familiar? Well, that's the living view of the Constitution right then and there. It evolves from age to age. Oh, yeah, of course, our founders would have never countenanced abortion as being part of what they meant by the words of the Constitution, but we can now. Well, how's that? Well, the judges that decided the Roe v. Wade, they said, well, you know, truth evolves from age to age. And here's an interesting experiment. If you have anybody that's a friend that's a lawyer, if you know any attorneys or whatever, ask them this one question. Does law evolve? And you'll be amazed, because just about to the person, and with a few exceptions, I know a few good lawyers, and so they would be the exceptions, but almost to the person, with those few exceptions, they will answer, well, of course law changes. Of course law evolves. How do they believe that? They believe it because they've been taught the philosophy of Friedrich Hegel, even if they don't know his name. They've been taught his philosophy where? In law school. Teaches them that, oh, yes, truth evolves, and therefore law evolves, and truth changes by, Hegel's philosophy was this dialectic, the three-stage process of transformation of truth. It was the thesis, which is where you start, the antithesis, which is far down the road from that, and then the synthesis that's somewhere, 50% in between the two. For example, you could think of it this way. An example in our own day would be the health care thing. Oh, the whole health care thing. Well, you know, it was the Democrats that proposed the antithesis. In other words, the thesis has been Medicare, Medicaid, that whole system. Well, by the way, none of that's constitutional. All of that was imposed back there in the Great Society of LBJ, you know, that terrible disaster. But the Medicare and Medicaid were invented unconstitutionally as an antithesis to constitutional government. And actually, they proposed something far more extreme than what it wound up being, and that's the way it always is. They propose something really extreme, and then they step back from the extreme to the synthesis, which is about 50% between the thesis and the antithesis. Well, now we're at the stage where the new proposed antithesis, you remember, few years ago was Hillary Care, or I like to call it Killery Care, you know. Everybody hated the idea, and Hillary probably lost her opportunity to you know, run for the White House because people remembered the wretched Hillary Care that was proposed. That was the antithesis of the existing system of Medicaid, Medicare. It just was too hard for people to think about this. Oh, death panels where the government would decide who lives and who dies. Oh, no, that's wretched. We can't. And over time, we have moved in that direction, and that's this process of the dialectic moving towards a continuing leftist form of government, step by step, and you take the leftists are always famous for doing this. They propose two or three steps forward in the left direction, and then they'll compromise. You know, the compromise is never to come back to the constitutional standard. It's only to come back to something in between. And you can hear it today in many of the Republicans. They're not talking about abolishing all of these government programs that are unconstitutional. Oh, no, let's just tinker with the Obamacare. Let's get rid of some of the worst aspects of it. They're doing the dialectic, you know. The thesis was Medicare, Medicaid, which is unconstitutional itself. The antithesis was this Obamacare mess, and oh yeah, that's way too extreme. Let's back away from that. Let's take out some of the most egregious portions of that. You know, maybe we'll get rid of the death panels. Maybe we'll get rid of the requirement that would penalize people for not having a government-approved health care plan. All that. Let's get rid of some of the worst aspects of it, but let's not abolish the whole thing. Oh no, we couldn't abolish the whole thing. That is the Hegelian dialectic that is at work in our government today. And truthfully, the only difference between a conservative, and this may sound shocking, but the only difference between a conservative and a leftist, flagrant liberal is the speed at which both are heading to crash over the cliff in the destruction of society. Because the conservative is just dragging the coattails of the liberal as the liberal is going over the cliff. The liberal's heading over the cliff at 100 miles an hour. The conservative is going over the cliff at 55 miles an hour. You know, they're more tame. They're not quite as extreme, but they're going the same leftist direction, and you can hear it. I mean, the Republicans of today are far left of where JFK was in his day. You know, they're far more left in their anti-Christian and anti-biblical and anti-constitutional stance. And even just, you could compare over 10 years. You know, what is the reaction of the Republicans to Hillary care? Oh, horrified. Today, they're, you know, well, Obamacare is not all bad. Let's accept some parts of it and keep, you know. That's the Hegelian dialectic that was a very important and evil principle, actually. He was the tutor of Marx and some of the others that invented communism. And they recognized that you cannot take a frog and throw him into a pot of boiling water and cook the frog that way. But if you put the frog in the water, you just turn up the temperature little by little by little by little. Eventually, you'll cook that frog, and he won't even know he has been cooked. And that's what's been happening to the American public for, well, over 100 years now, I'd say, that we've been slowly cooked into an unconstitutional soup. And most Americans, because it's been gradual, not huge leaps, although I would have to say perhaps Obama hasn't been very wise, or perhaps I should say the people who are pulling his strings haven't been very wise, because they've really put the pedal to the metal on this past 2 years of seeking to destroy our republic very, very rapidly. And they may not have been wise, because part of what they're doing is waking up a vast number of Americans who've been asleep until they hear things like death panels. Like, what? You know, the government's going to determine who lives and who dies. This is it. So they, in their leftist extreme, and they probably believe, hey, they've got it now, you know. They can do whatever they want, and the Americans won't object. They'll just go along with the program. And that's true for some really dumbed-down Americans who watch that one-eyed idiot box and believe everything they see on that one-eyed idiot box. You know, many Americans are at the point where, yeah, the people can take them right over the cliff, and they won't even bat an eye. They'll just go right on down the road to serfdom and never bother to resist. But today, there are many Americans waking up with the extreme of the Obama-isms of the past 2 years and say something is desperately wrong. What's wrong is we've left the foundation of our Constitution, and we can restore and recover it if we'll take action and if we'll teach as many citizens as we could possibly reach.
And let me find out that freedom is not free. If good people are not involved, the wicked people are. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. Right now, they're in the process of actually bankrupting our country. They know what they're doing. They're going to destroy the value of our currency. They're going to impoverish our people. They're going to see massive inflation by the end of this year. It's coming. It's coming very rapidly. Go right ahead, David. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, let me just mention one more significant figure in the latter part of the 18th century and into the 19th century, Auguste Comte. And he was the father.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Organization, because they're taking this thing over, they're doing everything they can. Why? Because they do not want representative government. They want top-down government, where, because the leaders of the Republican Party will tell the Republican representatives what to do, the leaders of the Democrat Party will tell the Democrats what to do, and they're all controlled by the same Brotherhood of Darkness. So to really understand what's going on, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talks on the Forbidden Secret, on the Dark Secret. What is available on DVD? The first available on DVD, the second one's available on CD. And you, of course, get a syllabus with either one of them. And both of them should be available up on our website. At least the Forbidden Secret will be there. And begin to give you an idea how this all fits together, all about the fire in the minds of men, about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. That was the phrase that George Bush, who was a member of a secret society, Skull and Bones, as was his father, as was his grandfather. They were all part of the same secret society that dates back almost to the time of the Illuminati back in 1832. And you must understand that there are secret societies, there always have been. What's their goal? One world government. Well, what can you do? Well, you can become informed. You can help us maintain our network of stations. We have about 60 outlets every week, but we can certainly use your help. We've had some very difficult times, and a lot of our listeners have been badly hurt during this contraction, and things are going to get a lot worse. But if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, I should point out that they are poisoning our water with fluoride. They know what they're doing, especially since most of the water is treated with hydrofluosilicic acid, which increases the level of lead in the blood of the people where it's used, because the hydrofluosilicic acid pulls the lead out of the solder, it pulls it out of the brass. I mean, and they've done massive studies. They know what they're doing. They're simply poisoning the minds of our children. Now, you can do a good job of getting the fluoride out of your water with a Big Berkey unit, and you should have one, Big Berkey or Berkey Light, because, of course, we're heading into very difficult times later this year, as the economy continues contracting, as we move into an inflationary spiral, and there will be a period of unrest and crisis and certainly increasing crime and violence in this country. Not as bad as you're seeing in the Middle East, but the country we've known before is changing. They're going to have to start releasing prisoners because they don't have the money to keep them imprisoned, and this is going to change the complexion of things. But I would simply mention that they are damaging your health with the contrails, and certainly the contrails and what is going on with the airplane contrails is creating certainly these clouds up in the sky. And you watch the contrails very often, they will simply expand and form a cloud cover. Why is that? Because they've changed the composition of the jet fuel, and they're putting things in the jet fuel that they know are hazardous to your health. You need to get the DVD, What in the World Are They Spraying? What in the world are they spraying? And of course, this is not only with the contrails, but it's certainly there are tanker planes, and there are the rockets they're sending up that contain aluminum, and the levels of aluminum have increased dramatically. In the snowpack, in the water, aluminum is extremely toxic. It's getting into the trees, it's getting into the food and food chain, and of course, it's getting into the water supply. And we have something called the total home filtration unit, which do a good job of getting at least 95% of the fluoride out of your drinking water, and mostly aluminum and heavy metals and other things that they're contaminating us with. If you'd like more information of how to get rid of for the total home so that you can bathe and take showers, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a young man named Elad. And he is, of course, over there in Israel. Of course, it's at 7:30 in the morning over there. We're having a little difficulty getting through, but we're hoping against hope that we'll be able to reach him here in just a moment. And so I'm just checking the number to make sure that it's right. And it looks like it is. Anyway, I'm going to just play a little music here while we evaluate this and just see what we can do. So we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we have now a gentleman named Elad. He's a friend of Barry Shamish, and Barry, of course, as you know, is a regular guest on our programs, and Elad, of course, is over in Israel at the present time. It's, what is it, about 7 o'clock in the morning there, Elad?
Yes, it's early.
And am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Elad, okay, fine, and of course, your friend of Barry's. Barry says that you're one of the experts over there in Israel on this move towards the New World Order, and that you recognize this. This is so vitally important to understanding what's going on in Israel, and certainly vitally important to understand this this whole revolutionary movement that's sweeping the Muslim world, because this is going to have a profound impact upon the lives of the Arab people and the Palestinians. But it's also going to have an impact on Israel. It's going to have an impact upon the United States. Elad, what is your take on what's going on over there today from Israel, where you live?
Well, concerning specifically Israel, the thing is that for many years now, and especially the Obama administration, if we take the Obama administration view on Israel, Israel is being perpetrated as the main cause of all the problems in the Middle East, especially in much of the world media. Israel seems to be like the main cause of all the wars and all the things going on in the Arab world. No one ever says a word about the inner wars in the Arab world. They always put the blame on Israel. And one of the people who really are intricate in putting this forward is James L. Jones, who was until recently Obama's main advisor. He got his orders directly from Kissinger, according to papers from the CFR. And he came to Israel just a little bit more than a week ago in the Herzliya conference. I kind of call it the mini Israel Bilderberg, because he got many people there from the Trilateral Commission and the CFR and London School of Economics speaking there, deciding policies, meeting with the businessmen and politicians. And over there he said it, and Shimon Peres said it, They all put their focus on how important it is to Israel to move forward with the proposed peace plans, because Israel is the main problem of everything that is going there.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
All right, Elad, go right ahead. You were just saying that, Chris, that the claim is made that Israel certainly is the cause of everything going on, and, of course, Israel then must make concessions and bring about peace. Chris, James Jones was going to resign from his post as the National Security Advisor. Has he done that yet, or is he still the National Security Advisor?
Yeah, last time I checked, he did it just 2 or 3 months ago. I mean, it was just recently he resigned, but as I understood, he was really the main advisor of Obama, like any national security advisor. I mean, that's the post Brzezinski and Kissinger had when they were pulling the strings.
And I think people must understand that Brzezinski and Kissinger were both members of the Council on Foreign Relations. James Jones was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and it was in February, I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, when he was at the conference in Munich. And during this conference, which was held in Munich, he commented, and this is General James Jones, four-star retired Marine general, talking about the chain of command in the security division he headed, National Security Council, where, of course, he got his orders on a daily basis from Brent Scowcroft or Sandy Berger, directly from Henry Kissinger. Now, here's the man who tells Barack Obama what to do, but, of course, Henry Kissinger was also a major advisor to George W. Bush, and to Bill Clinton, and to George Herbert Walker Bush. Doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican. Henry Kissinger is always there. And so many of the positions that Henry Kissinger takes are anti-Israel. Well, pick up the story. How do you interpret what's going on today? And what part does the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers play in the unfolding of world events?
Well, it actually becomes pretty simple when you look at where Israel lies in the Middle East. And there's a very good reason why Israel is depicted as such a big problem, and why they push Israel so hard to all those New World Order proposed peace processes made up in places like Geneva and Oslo. I mean, in any way, Israel lies in a very strategic place in the Mediterranean, on the Mediterranean Sea. It connects North Africa and the Middle East pretty much. In a bigger scope, it also connects Europe and...
Hold that thought. Well, right. This is Dr. Stan, and suddenly our guest is Elad, and of course he's over in Israel. He has a website, which is read over in Israel, about the New World Order, about these organizations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the organizations we talk about, the globalists, who really run the world. Now, they, please don't believe, I believe they're the only ones involved. Certainly it's far more extensive than that, but they are key players in this. Basically, of course, we have not one organization. We have a myriad of organizations. We could talk about Masonry. We could talk about the Rosicrucians. We could talk about the people affiliated with the Lucius Trust, or the various organizations that George Soros has, or the Bohemian Grove. I could probably name 20 organizations that are key players in this, although I think Trilateral Commission is the key. But basically, they're all dedicated to one thing. And that is a one-world government. Would you agree or disagree with that? You feel free to disagree with anything I say. Barry Shamish always does, so you can feel free to go ahead.
Well, it is a... These people are very, very into government and governing people's lives. And I would just add, it's a one-world collectivist state. I think they have some factions. I think they sometimes have inner wars between them. Not really big wars, but just about power, who has more hand in the pie. But basically, everyone there believes in a collectivist world state, in my opinion.
But because why would these people of great wealth want a collectivist world state? After all, in a collectivism, why, of course, you share your wealth. These people don't want to share their wealth. They want to share your wealth, and they want you to share your wealth. But are they going to share their wealth with the common people? Are they going to give up their positions of power?
Well, it doesn't seem so, because you mentioned now... many groups like the Masons and Rosicrucians and those societies believe that they have the minds to govern the wealth and govern the way of people, and much of this outlook, much of this way of thinking is also taking place in the Middle East. Really, really now, it's very interesting to see that the whole idea of revolutionary, the whole idea of this religion of revolution being being transferred into the Arab world. I mean, this is very symbolic to how they see things. And I just have one thing to say about it, is that when it's done, the NGOs that they sponsor will take over all the systems of governing over there. Right. And I mean, all those reform they're talking about, this is not the governing will go to a much much more interconnected system of NGOs, which the reason they love NGOs so much is that the NGOs are not concerned with nationality and are concerned with religion or anything that defines a people or a nation. They're, all they are is connected with this code name called human rights as a forefront of again managing wealth, managing some fake morality. But in any way, if I go back to why Israel is such an important thing for them, it's because there's something in a process in the making that we're now witnessing, and it's very important to understand it. It's called the Mediterranean Union. It is the expansion of the European Union to go all around the Mediterranean Sea. And if you actually look about what's going on in Tunisia and Libya and Egypt are all countries which lie exactly on the Mediterranean Sea. And they're the ones going on going with those revolutions. It didn't spread. It spread it to other countries, but the ones who are now falling are exactly the ones that are connected to the Mediterranean Union, which is the expansion of the European Union.
Don't forget Algeria. They're having real problems as well.
Algeria.
And of course Libya and Tunisia has already fallen, and certainly Israel is. Pardon me, Egypt has fallen, but certainly you come up with then Lebanon. What people don't understand is that Lebanon has fallen. And certainly there's a question very seriously about Syria. Certainly Assad has acknowledged they're going to have to make very, very serious changes there. That whole part of the world is certainly in flames today. It will never be the same again. And anybody who believes this is a spontaneous uprising, that this is not carefully coordinated, I'd suggest they go up in the Internet and look up Mubarak Coma, and you'll find out that there are all sorts of reports that President Mubarak, who looked so healthy just a few days ago, is said to be in a coma. And then, of course, the dictator of Tunisia, who looked so healthy just 4 weeks ago, he's in a coma. And then, of course, the Shah's son, he would have possibly been in line to have had been breakup of the existing government there in Iran. Why, of course, you would need new leadership. And these countries, unfortunately, have never been democracies. There has to be at least some figurehead. And, of course, the Shah's son would have been a very effective one. Only he was suicided in January. Do anybody out there think this is all coincidence? One, it's interesting. Two, is a coincidence. Three, well, it must be more than coincidence. Like all those people who died who witnessed John Kennedy's assassination. There were over 100 of them. Do you think they all sort of died by accident just because they saw one or another aspect of what happened that day? Well, you pick up the story there, Elad. There really is a movement, really, of course, that is very carefully coordinated. We're seeing being played out today. And I think there's an organized effort to mislead us as to the cause and what the end result is going to be. Where do you think this is all going to end up? Do you think it's going to end up with democracy and freedom and people having a better life than they had before?
I wouldn't bet on it. There is something to look out for, and I will bring out now someone who I consider a key player in all of this, and that is Spain. Actually, in Spain, they draft many of the peace treaties and the Mediterranean Union treaties, and one of the things, for example, okay, the Mediterranean Union needs to have its own bank. That's to develop the area. This kind of banks are pretty much our central banks, very similar to the Federal Reserve, and they always talked about that if we want a Mediterranean Union, we need to have a bank for this area. So those countries are falling, and Spain comes out and says, well, let's create a bank to help them have a transition into democracy. Now, you can see the devastating result the Central Bank of the European Union had on Ireland, on Greece, on many of the nations over there. I mean, it's the most violent bureaucracy, which doesn't care about what will happen to people concerning their changing of the interest rates. But so that's one step, and really one of the parts of the Oslo Accord is having this kind of central bank in the area. So they're now implementing a very, as I said before, it's going to be an expansion of a union, but it's going to be collectivist, and collectivism never really coincides with democracy, and never engulfs in itself freedom. And another thing which is happening is the European Union plan, its central plan for this area was planning to put an infrastructure of green technology, like solar energy plants in the desert. And really, Libya, for example, Gaddafi was the only one who refused joining this union, and he was the only one who didn't went to their gatherings. And I mean, now he's not there to say anything. In fact, actually, he said about the union is that it will be an expansion of a big Roman Empire. But I mean, I usually don't like to listen to what Gaddafi says. He's not a very honest man. But concerning the thing about the democracy, now the King Carlos is an honorary member of the Club of Rome, and they drafted the whole plan of the infrastructure for green technology all over the Mediterranean Union, and. When you listen to his language, and just when Paris met him the last couple of days, they really speak in the language of the first global revolution of the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome say, and I quote, "Democracy is not a panacea. I hope I pronounced it well.
Panacea, you did fine. Yeah. Basically, I think people misunderstand that Juan Carlos, the King of Spain, is part of the black nobility of Europe, member of the Club of Rome, and part of this Brotherhood of Darkness that secretly rules the world.
Yeah.
Elid, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Foreign relations. Over in Europe, of course, they have the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the Bilderbergers, and certainly on the continent, they have the Club of Rome. And these are elitists. They know what's best for us common people, and they really do feel that there are just too many people in the world. We're using up their resources. We're running out of air, we're running out of water, we're running out of electricity, we're running out of oil and natural resources. And as a result, why they want to lower the living standards for those people who survive. But they really do intend, if you read their writings, to dramatically decrease the number of people in the world. And, of course, how do you do that? Why, you do it through population control. You do it through war and famine and certainly pestilence. Go right ahead.
Well, yeah. For example, Bill Gates is a player in the Club of Rome, and he had this famous speech, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, about how to fight CO2 concerning population control. And the Club of Rome say that if there is no enemy to bind the people together in partnership, they will have to invent one. They actually say it. And the weapon they came up with is what they call the common enemy of man, who pollutes, who destroys the environment, that's pretty much the adversary they have for humanity. But it's all just a way to gain more control about everything that the population does. Now, I want to... the thing is, Carlos, the King of Spain, is and also Queen Beatrice, who is, the, if I'm not wrong, the head of Bilderberg, they are honorary members of the Club of Rome. Now, I want to base this connection of what's happening in the Middle East, because really, 2 days ago, Peres, our president, Israeli president, went to Spain to meet with Carlos. He went to Spain as a guest of him to speak to him. There are even talks that from there Peres went over to Morocco, whereas Morocco sitting, it's sitting exactly on the Mediterranean Sea. It's all about the countries on the Mediterranean Sea, and each one of them has gone through some kind of radicalization, and there are people who talk about that radicalization of countries, making them more Islamic, takes down the industrialization and not letting them develop too much, just like the plans of the Club of Rome. But it's an interesting thing to note. But in any way, when you look what is happening, much of it is concerning this group, and so they say they want to have reforms and put in and this is what Hillary Clinton always says when she talks about the changing of the Middle East. Now she said they need to give more power to civil society. I found a video of Bill Clinton in the 25th anniversary of a fund called the New Israeli Fund. He was there only once, giving a very big speech, and he said the problem in the Arab world, he said it a couple of years ago, I think 5 years ago, something like that, he said the problem in the Arab world is the lack of civil society. And it's exactly what his wife today always says when they talk about the change in the Middle East. They say, give more power to the civil society, don't be afraid of the civil society. Civil society is the network of NGOs they want to implant in each country. And, for example, this is how they take over countries. Georgia, on Russia, there was this color revolution there funded by Soros, by his NGOs. They took over the government. Today the government there is pretty much, most of it is made out of people from those NGOs. So they're pretty much taking over those countries and want to implement the policies of the Club of Rome over there. And it creates many problems. One of them chiefly being the whole immigration from those countries into Europe, which is already a major problem in Europe. It's creating an inner problem in countries in Europe, which might result in the end of, in police states in many countries in Europe to deal with the...
With the Muslim problem. Hang on there, we'll be back in just a moment. I think Elad's absolutely right. We're heading into a period of chaos and crisis. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest this evening, Elad. What's your last name, Elad?
It's Pressman.
Okay, fine. How did you get interested in studying the New World Order? Where did you learn about it? Because the average individual thinks anybody who talks about the New World Order has got to be some sort of a fruitcake, a conspiracy, a nut, you know. They see a conspiracy under every rock and hard place. And, you know, and yet, of course, there is a conspiracy. There are a number of conspiracies. There's always been conspiracies, and there's always been secret societies. And there is a certainly organized effort to destroy Israel today, growing anti-Semitism throughout the world, and certainly, but this is not happening by accident. A lot of this is being headed by somebody named George Soros, his International Crisis Group. Have you come across that?
Yes, yes. As I said before, they use NGOs to take over the countries, like they did in Georgia. And the crisis group, for example, is a very good example because the crisis group is the group where Al-Baradi, who seems to be the guy who will govern the place, he comes from that group, which is headed by George Soros and Brzezinski.
You're talking about governing Egypt, of course, when they finally get back to some sort of a semblance of order there. Is this what you're speaking of?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
So, in any way, if now we understand they're in the process of making a Mediterranean Union, and again, the whole policy of the Club of Rome is deindustrialization of areas because of an imagined threat they came up with. So. Having backwards countries and having Europe now going backwards or becoming in many key places a police state will fulfill their vision because they'll have
hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Elid simply talking about his concern that certainly we've overthrown the dictatorship of Mubarak. Now we have a police dictatorship over there, a military dictatorship. You've replaced one dictatorship with another. But this whole thing obviously is carefully orchestrated. How do we know? Because the army abandoned Mubarak, and of course they went right along with the overthrow of the existing government. Somebody paid off the army. The same thing happened in Tunisia. Now, of course, in Iran, where they're having a lot of riots, why the military is doing what the military ordinarily does, and that is simply shooting people who get out of line. This is what our good friends, the Chinese communists, did at Tiananmen Square, and, of course, with the full support and encouragement of the American government, which, after they'd killed probably 10, 20, 30,000 Chinese, we don't know how many they killed at Tiananmen Square, George Herbert Walker Bush punished them by giving China most favored nation treaty status so that they could bring their products into the United States without paying tariffs. Not very many countries had the most favored nation treaty status at that time, but that's exactly how you punished communist China. You gave them the greatest advantage financially they could possibly get. Why did they do that? Well, either George Bush is the stupidest man in the world, which he is not. This is George Herbert Walker. Or he was rewarding the communists for doing exactly what the Americans wanted him to do, and that is simply kill off anybody who stood up against the ruthless regime, which it, by this time had already killed probably 140 million of its own people. But it's all a social experiment to see how you can control people. They will control them probably in Iran and a couple of the other countries, but in Egypt, somebody paid off the military. Somebody paid off the military in Tunisia, which is why those revolutions succeeded. And the others, many of them, some of them will fail. Well, anyway, Elid, pick up the story there, because I think Elid's point is very good, that this whole thing is coordinated, but the average individual is not to know or understand who has enough money to actually pay off the military. Well, we do know, of course, that a man named Lord James, he's a peer in the House of Lords, he's a member of the House of Lords, that's Lord James. Basically, on the 4th of November of last year, he stood up in the House of Lords, and in exchange with one of the other lords who said, well, you're not that important. I mean, why would anybody come to you with these offers you're talking about? And I won't get into Foundation X, but you can find it up at the Belfast Telegraph article, which, of course, has been pulled down from Start Page. It's been pulled down from Google, but you can still get it on Yahoo, or you can get it from us. But basically, Lord James said, well, he was defending himself. Well, of course I'm important. I've been involved in some very sensitive dealings. I've spent billions or several billion pounds. I've sent several billion pounds to the Irish terrorists. I've spent over £1 billion to the Irish terrorists and a great deal of money to the terrorists in North Africa. I won't talk about that. It's sensitive right at the present time. Now, remember, this is November of last year. But and don't call the police. I'm simply carrying out these programs that he's talking about, sending money to the terrorists in North Africa. He said, I'm simply carrying out the instructions of the Bank of England. I'm using as a money washer for transferring money to terrorist groups. So that's one source of the funding, I believe, that has been used to buy off the military down there. I also believe the CIA and other organizations here in the United States have participated in this. We know that the CIA's been funding terrorism and the Muslim terrorist movement for years. We know they replaced the Shah of Iran with a radical Islamist back in 1979. That wasn't a spontaneous revolution. It was very carefully crafted. And the CIA had been keeping Ayatollah Khomeini in Sydney in Paris for 20 or 30 years, and they flew him to Iran to take control when the Shah left after being ordered to leave by the Central Intelligence Agency. So basically, of course, you get an offer from the CIA or from the American State Department. It's an offer you can't refuse, like getting an order from the mafia. And I know how this works. In fact, I was personally told by the ambassador to Cuba in 1959, Earl Smith. He was ordered by the State Department to go to the duly elected president of Cuba. His name was Batista. Now he had become increasingly autocratic because of the revolutionary movement in his country. He was trying to keep it from being taken over by the communists, and he made some serious errors, but he was certainly a lot better than the man we replaced him with. But Earl Smith told me, Ambassador Smith personally told me, and you can see this in our DVD, The World Revolution, that he was ordered by the State Department to tell Batista, President Batista, you will leave Cuba tomorrow. You will leave Cuba tomorrow. And when you get an order from the American State Department, it's getting an order, like getting an order from the mafia. It's an order you can't refuse. I suspect that Mubarak got a similar order. I suspect that the president of Tunisia got a similar order. Both of them, at least according to the articles on the Internet, are in comas somewhere in Europe. Isn't that a coincidence? Isn't that a coincidence? Elon, pick up the story.
Yeah, well, the order Mubarak got was in... he got it in a way of freezing his Swiss bank account. And that was a very thick way to tell him to move on. And really, it's very interesting to see that Brzezinski is a well-known string puller and a guy who gives orders to Obama. It's very interesting to see the parallels between the handling of Egypt and the handling of Iran. In the 80s, where Brzezinski was the main advisor of Jimmy Carter, and today not only he's known for being an outsourced advisor to Obama, he's also in the crisis group we just mentioned, you mentioned how Bush awarded the Chinese after Tiananmen Square. A key player in making the Club of Rome, in creating it, was David Rockefeller, and he called the Chinese of Mao, the communist Chinese of Mao regime, a very, very well orchestrated experiment, social experiment. He, of course, created the Trilateral Commission, which influences also Europe together with Brzezinski. Brzezinski writes in his in America's Role in the Technocratic Era that the Stalinist regime may be a very good example of for the world of how to govern a bigger world. I mean, they have a very, as I said before, a very collectivist way of seeing how to govern the world. You talked about the armies. Well, Egypt got much of its money and aid from the United States, but billions of dollars, but much of it went to pretty much the army. The army in Egypt has been bought by the United States during the years, as in many other countries. And it's interesting to note, for example, in Libya, a major player in funding its army is Russia. And you got and Carlos today, in the 25th of February, is planning on going to Russia right after Medvedev. The Prime Minister Medvedev of Russia just met the Pope just a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. So it seems to me that they really are giving orders and orchestrating, because the armies are taking control of those places. And for example, in Egypt, the one who is now in charge, Omar Suleiman, he was the head of the CIA in Egypt. He was the point man of Egypt over there. And the whole talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was always been, it was guided by Western intelligence, British, just like you said before, which helped England, which helped the Khomeini, and also the American intelligence. John Loftus has a very interesting book about the subject on how Western intelligence manipulated the Muslim Brotherhood. There are many books on the subject, even by someone, I forgot his name, he was a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he wrote a book on how Western intelligence used the Muslim Brotherhood, mainly for short-term uses, but they're the ones who are the most organized in all those countries, and they have many kinds of fronts. And the thing is, people need to go back and look where they come from. They come from a guy called Albana, and Albana was very in bed with Hitler and his Nazi regime, and was kind of his outsourcing out to the Arab world. John Loftus says also that after you had Nazis going into the CIA after the Second World War, which is very well known, they also used the what he called the Arab Nazis, who the Arabs, the Muslims Brotherhood, which was embedded with the Nazis for the Western intelligence use against the communist Arabs, which were the Arabs manipulated by Russia. So.
Well, we carry John Loftus's book. Two of them, actually. One is called America's Nazi Secret. The other is called The Secret War Against the Jews. Both of those books are available from Radio Liberty. We think John Loftus is a fascinating source of information. Now, certainly he doesn't understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on, but having had a clearance, an intelligence clearance, three levels above top secret, having had access to all of the secret files in the late 1970s, early 1980s, a wealth of information you won't get elsewhere. We're very, very lucky to have John on. I try to get him on as often as we can, because we can learn a great deal from a man who actually had the opportunity to go through all these files and is at liberty now to tell us all about how the Nazis were rewarded for the fine work they did by being brought to America here, and I said that the people who had killed 2 million Jews in Byelorussia were allowed to come work here in the United States, retire, and then live out the remainder of their lives in comfort in New Jersey. And while one aspect of our intelligence agencies was trying to track them down, the others were protecting them. And that's the story that's told in the book, America's Nazi Secret. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read it, you'll want to read it and weep. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention there's also mainstream sources writing about it. I mean, this is a well-known fact that the Muslim Brotherhood has been manipulated by Western intelligence. The other sources... A book called A Mosque in Munich by a Pulitzer Winner Prize.
What was the name of the book again?
A Mosque in Munich.
A Mosque in Munich?
In Munich, yeah.
What in Munich? In Munich?
In Munich.
A what?
In
Muslim in Munich.
Mosque.
The mosque in Europe. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. And we also carry Robert Dreyfus's book, The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game, quite good. But of course, a mosque in Europe. No, we'll have to get that. But a mosque in Munich.
Exactly.
I would simply point, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there in the listening audience, there's a wonderful article today in WorldNet Daily that goes into the background of the Muslim infiltration, the radical extremist Muslim infiltration of the Obama regime, a report that has recently come out talking about subversion in America, the radical Muslim movement here, and of course how it all interlocks. And then, of course, I would simply point out that there are Muslim terrorist training camps in the United States where they have ex-felons being trained with automatic weapons, having full access to hand grenades and other explosives. They are trained. Many of them have actually been sent to Pakistan to learn militant things. There are about 60 of these camps. The FBI knows about them. The CIA knows about them. They've been ordered not to do anything, and if you want to get the documentation on it, go to Paul Williams' site. You can find it up on the internet, Dr. Paul Williams, and he's done the fundamental work on that, and also look up Mr. Gulen, the man who, with the CIA's help, apparently was deeply involved with the overthrow of the traditional Turkish regime and transferring Turkey from the secular camp into the radical Islamic camp in 2002. Why would the CIA be interested in backing people who wanted to turn Turkey away from the West into this radical Islamic camp? Well, I think I'll just suggest it's the old adage of creating the best enemy your money, American money, could buy. And people say that's crazy talk. But are you sure? We'll find out if there really are Muslim terrorist training camps in the United States. We actually have an excellent DVD. It's quite old, 16 years old, but it will tell you about all the training camps we had here in 1994, and the DVD was actively suppressed by the people who run America until after 2001. It's called Jihad in America. You want to watch that DVD? It's 16. Let's see. It would be... 16 years, 17 years old now, but vitally important. And, of course, this foreshadows the coming Islamic revolutionary movement in the United States. Could this be true? Well, I believe it is, and, of course, certainly the world really will be determined at what happens in the world, and in Israel will be determined what happens here in the United States. And America is vulnerable, because most Americans have never heard what Elid's been saying and what I'm talking about. Dr. Paul Williams was our guest at our conference, and if you didn't hear his talk, it's available from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, you need to get the video, Jihad in America, America's Nazi Secret, The Devil's Game, and Sounds Like a Mosque in Europe must be a good book. We'll be back here in just a moment with Elad, and we'll let him go ahead and wrap up tonight's program. But ladies and gentlemen, we have real problems. The Muslim radical has been allowed to infiltrate our government. We have transferred the technology for building nuclear weapons to Pakistan so they could transfer them to Iran and to Saudi Arabia. We're on the verge of a nuclear war, and not one person in 10,000 America has any idea what's going on. Elad, I said to go right ahead. Really, we're in such dire straits. I'm glad you're over there trying to get the people in Israel awakened.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Your job is to get them to listen. Elad, we're going to have to let you go. It's early in the morning there. It's getting late at night here. Good night. God bless. And please keep up the great work.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, fine. This young man over there, Gordon Barry Shamish, one of the, certainly has the best website of the New World Order in all of Israel. Well, let me simply, if you want to understand the current threat in America, you need to go to WorldNet Daily today. A great article on the Islamic radical infiltration of the American government. If you read the report, you'll actually see a special report actually put out by the government on the subversive Muslim activities in the United States, totally suppressed by the controlled media. You need to, of course, get the DVD called Jihad in America. It was put out in 1994 and actively suppressed for 7 years until, and of course, until the 9/11 attack. But they are the same, many, many more, radical Islamic training terrorist camps in America. How could you suppress this? Why, in America, we have freedom of the press, which means if you control the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want to. Go on the internet, Dr. Paul Williams. Dr. Paul Williams, get his material or get his talk he gave to the conference here, our conference last October. Hopefully we'll have that in a DVD form in the not-too-distant future. Get the information. Help us to get it out and get it disseminated. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We carry the book, America's Nazi Secret, by John Loftus. We carry John Loftus' book, The Secret War Against the Jews. And if you ordered it earlier, please reorder it, because we lost some of the orders. We had difficulty getting the book. But both of the books are important. And then we carry Why, of course, The Devil's Game by Robert Dreyfus, about how the CIA and MI6 financed the Muslim Brotherhood and probably still are financing it today. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I would point out that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported, and certainly we are in a position where I hate to have to ask for financial help, but right now we certainly need your help to maintain our network of 60 outlets every week. We're there on satellite, certainly on iPhone, on the iTunes, I don't even know what that is, MP3, certainly, the radio and shortwave and internet, why people all across America are hearing the truth and learning more and more about what's going on. At least some of them are making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead and coming to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or heard my talk on the Forbidden Secret or the Dark Secret, and both of them come with a syllabus, you need to get them. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com.